This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It took less than 24 hours after the Super Bowl ended to get our first juicy rumor when it comes to the Jets and Giants. Things have been building up. If you paid attention to some players' tweets or X posts, Malik Neighbors and Jermaine Illuminor, and then also a hiring yesterday by the New York Giants makes everybody believe that Matthew Stafford could be headed this way. Couple that with Kelly Stafford talking about how they want a new contract without really saying they want a new contract, the disrespect, the Cooper Kupp trade, all of those things. And then you see the New York Giants hire Kelly Stafford's brother. Oh, get him here makes a ton of sense. Here we go. Buckle up. Big rumor. Matthew Stafford to save the New York Giants in season 101. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. You know, I told you months ago that after the Rams ended their season, they were talking to Sean McVay about the quarterback situation for them, and he basically said, I just want to get this whole thing done with. And then there were all these rumors about him being either retiring or traded, and then he came out and said, I'm not retiring. And what people don't realize is that he had an out in his contract. So all of this noise coming from the Rams after they lost to the Eagles was all about getting a new contract. That's mm-hmm. all this is about.
Yeah.
And I think he would like a three-year, $180 million contract, three-year, $150 million contract, three-year, $140 million contract. And if I were in his position, I'd want it too. And certainly Kelly Stafford has, you know, gotten herself in the mix now with her podcast and everything else that goes on around, I guess, these players these days, as their strongest advocates are going to be their wives. And it's all about getting a new contract. And, you know, whether or not this signing by the Giants has any implication regarding what they're trying to do or what they're going to do, I don't see how they would end up spending $40 to $50 million a year on Matthew Stafford at age 37. I don't see that team being the place for him to go. I see him more in Vegas than I do with the Giants.
And Adam Schefter put out yesterday that the Raiders are interested in Sam Darnold. As you said, maybe the Pete Carroll USC thing. So that got a little more momentum yesterday. So, all right. This brother-in-law, whatever his name is, Kelly Stafford's brother, he worked with Brian Daboll in the past. So it's not one of these things where they never knew the guy and they just plucked him off of some staff to bring him here to be an assistant quarterback coach to get Matthew Stafford here. They do have some history there. So it might not be all about Matthew Stafford. But if I'm thinking that it is or has something to do with Matthew Stafford, that means that I got to believe that they don't like the quarterbacks in this draft. That's what I would believe, that they're thinking, all right, our asses are on the line. We know our asses are on the line. And I can't draft one of these two guys
with our asses on the line and expect to keep my job. Who is the guy that could put me over the top that could be available, and how hard is it going to be to get that guy? And Matthew Stafford is the answer to that. Now, there's a lot that would have to go into it, all the cap implications, a new contract and everything else. He'd have to want to come to New York and take on this challenge of turning around this team. So, you know, a lot of that, I don't think it eventually plays out, but I would not be surprised if the Giants are aggressively trying to figure out if they can do it. I just don't think they're going to be able to.
I still think that Shedeur Sanders to the Giants right now still feels the right thing. It feels like it's heading that way. It does feel that way. And just because they need a presence at quarterback, and because they need a personality, and because they need somebody to be able to sell tickets around, I think the Giant fan would be excited if they ended up trading for Matthew Stafford. But again, the financial ramifications of that and what Joe Shane is trying to do may actually impede them in doing all the other things that they need to do to shore up this team. And again, he is. It would be like the Jets bringing in Aaron Rodgers. You know, and Aaron was nice enough or believed that if he took less money, they would be able to go out and sign some other people, which they did, by the way. And then, of course, he got hurt. And then we know that story, and that thing's ending, you know, like a ton of bricks.
Boom, unceremoniously.
Boom, done. Yes.
Yeah.
So now Aaron Rodgers is out there. You know, who would want him? You know, would it be Pittsburgh? Would it be the Giants? Would it be, could it be the Raiders? I mean, there are a handful. Could it be the Titans? There are a handful of teams I could see that may want to go after him with a two-year deal, and maybe part of it is guaranteed, meaning the first year would be guaranteed, and after that, they'd have to reassess, and he could be a mercenary that way for one of those teams. I don't know. I sit here and I think, you know, Matthew Stafford to the Giants after playing in L.A. and playing indoors in Detroit, and he's going to come to the NFC East and play against Washington, Dallas, and the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, from his perspective,
that doesn't make any sense to me.
From his perspective, it doesn't. But the only way that he would look at the Giants as a place to end his career is if they are the only team that's willing to pay him the extension that he wants. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, maybe it is. Maybe the Rams won't do it, but there would be another team out there that he would probably find more palatable to go to end his career than the Giants that would be willing to give him that extension. From the Giants' standpoint, I think it's a great idea, and they should do whatever they can to try to get it done, because instantly, I mean, this guy could still play. He's won a Super Bowl. Instantly, the credibility of that team and their ability to compete goes through the roof with him at quarterback, but I just don't know how.
I know one thing, I've given up the number three pick, that's for sure.
No, and I wouldn't expect them to, because it's going to be a money thing. They're going to have to give him a contract. There's going to be huge cap implications.
This would be like acquiring Brian Burns like they did last year. They'd have to make a trade,
yeah,
and then they'd have to extend his contract.
Sure, yep.
And, you know, you got to sit there and you got to try to tell John Mara we're bringing in a 37-year-old quarterback and we're going to pay him, what, $130 million, $140 million with $80 million guaranteed or something.
Man, in the last game we saw him play, he was throwing the ball all over the place in snow. And
well, I'm not saying he's a great player, man.
He could still do it, man. I'm telling you.
This is why the Rams traded for him when they did.
Yeah.
Think about this. If he goes to the AFC West, he's got Sean Payton and Bo Nix, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, right? He's got Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. And it's him and Pete Carroll in that division.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, woo, and I don't want to say that he doesn't want to win. Of course he wants to win, but you know, he did get a Super Bowl, so he's probably thinking, like, all right, I got one more time to cash in. I mean, this would, you know, Kelly Stafford in her diatribe on her podcast wasn't talking about, you know, we really want to go to a place where we can win another Super Bowl or something like that.
She's talking about a contract.
Right. She was going, you know, we love L.A., but, you know, there's a level of respect and appreciation and blah, blah, blah. So they don't,
they respected him more than you could ask for from a team. Now, if there is stuff percolating around him about how they need to move on because of salary cap constraints, that's just the nature of the business. You know, that is legitimately the nature of the business. She was also upset because she's emotional about Cooper Kupp leaving. And you can't get emotional in this business, says Luka Doncic, and you know, and everybody involved in that trade, you know, found out anybody can be traded, anybody can be moved, if in fact a team gets tired of a player or they just don't want to hear any more of the nonsense.
Yeah. So a couple days ago was Malik Nabers who put out on X he had number 9. And then a ram emoji, and obviously number 9.
So you know what he's saying.
And then after that, he put 9, 10, Cooper Kupp, ram emoji, and then those were deleted. So someone said, stop doing that. And then Jermaine Illuminor, when he was, I guess he might have quote tweeted something or something to do with the Stafford trade. He goes, all these trade talks come to New York. That was also deleted. So, and then that all of that was before the hiring of Kelly Stafford's brother, the brother-in-law to Matthew Stafford. So, I mean, I love these type of things.
I know you do.
It's great.
I'm
into
it. Yes.
The Giants and Jets have been completely dead for years, and something like this would be very exciting. And I truly do believe that the Giants are going to look into this and try to make it happen. But I'm with you. I don't see how Matthew Stafford at this point in his career is going to say, yeah, the Giants is what I want to try to turn around, unless they're the only team that is willing to give him the contract that he wants.
Yeah,
that would be the only reason.
That's the caveat. Are they the only team? But, you know, again, you know, the Pete Carroll thing is extremely, extremely attractive because it's indoors. The problem is it's the AFC West, and, you know, Pete may want to go after Sam Darnold, but still that's going to cost a lot of money, but the difference is age. But the one thing about Matthew Stafford is that he'll make everybody better on the field with him.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know you get a little annoyed when you see all these guys walking around in T-shirts and walking into the locker rooms
it's
and everything
not,
else.
I don't know.
This starts the long, arduous baseball season starts today for the Yankees. And, you know, look, for all intents and purposes, they should breeze right through the American League, even with the loss of Juan Soto. The addition of Max Fried, I think, is going to be great for them. And you know what? They're just, I mean, there's nobody in the American League. It's baseball. I understand that, Susan. But there's nobody in the American League even remotely close to how good they are.
Would the Orioles
give them a run for their money? I don't know.
You never know, as you mentioned, in baseball. It's a tricky sport, and there's injuries and everything else. But, yeah, I mean, this team is built once again to get at least to the ALCS, most likely to the World Series, and, you know, try to improve on the things that kept them from winning a championship last year. And it's not so much that I'm excited that there's baseball, but it's still so long to go. And then it's like, I guess because we're desperate now that football's over and just these guys showing up gets people excited.
I'm not desperate.
I don't know. Maybe baseball fans are. I mean, I'm not desperate either.
This is the beginning. It's the beginning of spring, it feels like.
Yeah. You know what I noticed yesterday, too?
About
the Mets, and this is something we're going to have to deal with all year long, which is fine. And this is what happens when a team spends a lot of money and makes a lot of big splashes. You know, Harold Reynolds was on with the BT and Sal yesterday.
Harold Reynolds.
You do like Harold Reynolds.
I do like Harold Reynolds. Like Harold Reynolds, yes.
So I don't know if you're going to like him still after he was saying that the Mets lineup is not impressive and it's got a lot of holes in it and it's thin and all of these things.
That was his opinion?
Yeah, it was his opinion, yeah.
It doesn't change my opinion of him.
Okay.
Just because he has a pointed opinion about what he sees as a weakness, I don't have a problem with him having that opinion.
So I didn't even really care about that specifically. The thing that I felt and projected from that interview was that the Mets are going to have haters all year long. The fun, lovable, OMG, Jose Iglesias Mets are dead, and now everybody's going to come out of the woodwork. Maybe not as much with as the Dodgers, but the Mets are going to be that team that people want to poke holes in now because Steve Cohen's spending the money, $750 million to Juan Soto. So Mets fans, buckle up, because there's going to be haters everywhere now.
Hey, $750 million for Juan Soto, that's enough to make everybody hate you. You know, that's basically what it comes down to. You spend more money. Now, it was interesting. I did hear a little bit of the discussion yesterday with Tiki and Evan and the other guys. What the hell are their names?
Well, I actually want you to struggle with them now. That's funnier to me while you try to figure it out what their names are.
Loogie and Moran.
There you go. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. Why'd you say that? Just to bust their chops. Yep. They did have a very, very good point yesterday. Talking about spending, you know, $750 million for Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how much supposedly a new stadium with a dome on top of it would cost. And they had asked, and I was going to actually participate in their poll. Would you want a dome stadium, or would you want Juan Soto?
I mean, for me, it's baseball has always been outside, and with the Mets and the Yankees. I understand that it's nice to have an indoor stadium, but you don't necessarily need it.
I think it comes on the heels of Kodai Senga saying, you know,
yes,
you know, we could have an indoor stadium. We probably would have more Japanese players. And I was just thinking about that. Put that in perspective. You gave one player $760 million.
Yeah, over time. You know, I mean,
but you could over time pay off, a bond or something to build a stadium. I mean, this is why I say that all these owners who are all these billionaires, if they can give the money, that kind of money to a player, then they should be able to build their own stadiums.
Sure.
And pay for them and put domes on them. I would much rather have a dome on Citi Field. I'd love to go to games in April and May as opposed to sitting out in the freezing cold and having a 7:30 night game. Like on a Wednesday night when nobody shows up.
Yeah, retractable. Is it retractable? Well, talking about?
I mean, you can make it retractable, but that would cost a little bit more money.
Well, that because that
maybe
to
you
me.
Couldn't have, you know, maybe you couldn't have Pete Alonso and Juan Soto.
I mean, I can't imagine on a beautiful 75 degree day with a low wind in June and you're out there going to a baseball game and then it's inside at that point. If it's retractable and you get rid of all the March, April, and then late season cold games and then the pouring rain and the thunderstorms having to wait around for a 2-hour rain delay, then yeah, that would be great.
Right.
But I cannot eliminate
no rain delays, nothing.
I cannot eliminate the beautiful baseball day outside though.
Then open a roof like they do in Toronto
and
Miami.
Yeah, yeah. Retractable.
That's all.
Roof.
Then do that, okay? Fine.
Yeah. To me, the Chiefs dynasty took a major hit last night. I'm not comparing them to every other organization in the NFL because obviously they've been better than everybody else right now. I'm talking with the greatness, you know, the dynasties we have seen, you know, the 49ers and the Patriots, and nobody got their ass kicked like this ever in those when those teams were doing their thing. And if you look back, I mean, Tom Brady, I said this morning, part of him was smiling because he was down 28-3 in a Super Bowl, came back and won. These guys were down 24-0 and then continued to get their ass kicked for the rest of the game. So this is a bad one. I mean, this is now permanently on their record that they got whooped in a Super Bowl worse than any other dynasty in the NFL.
I can't argue any of those points because they're all true and right. And I think, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, what, they go 15-2 in the regular season. Mm-hmm. But you have to look at that game and look at it this way. Wow, we have to make some changes. Mm-hmm. You got to take your left tackle, Joe Tooney. You got to put him back at guard. Somebody made a great comment after the game. You took one of the good guards in the NFL, moved him to tackle. You're weakening the left guard position. And he's not a tackle. I mean, when he gets in a stance, it's amazing. He looks like a guard or a center.
Yeah, even though he played tackle in college.
I know.
And that's one of the reasons why they did it. And they actually...
He did okay.
And as they said on the broadcast last night, he was the MVP of the Chiefs. He got the MVP vote by the players on the team. So it goes to show you they all recognize that he was doing something that he was not comfortable doing.
But he ran into a different group, and he got beat outside quite a few times. And then he got basically, was it him that fell into Patrick Mahomes' leg and caused the interception?
Yeah, that was him, yeah.
Yeah, so he was getting pushed back. I mean,
and Juwan Taylor just got ran over a couple times. I mean, Brandon Graham just actually took him up off the ground.
Well, here's where if you hate the Eagles, I'm going to give you some really bad news. The quarterback's young. The running back's young. Their defensive line, basically their whole football team, they're in a 3-4 year window almost where they're not going to worry about money, worry about players. And, you know, the whole big thing is Nick Sirianni, I don't know when it happened when he was yelling at the fan during the year and all that. It seemed, I've said this many times, it seemed to settle him down. And he became a head coach and leader of men. And it turned their team around, I thought.
He had some goofy times over the last couple of years. And
oh, yeah.
This time last year, you remember, there was thought that he was going to be fired, which was amazing to me.
Well.
And then, you know, by the way, people tend to forget this. Nick Sirianni, a couple of years ago, before Vic Fangio went to Miami, brought Vic Fangio to Philadelphia as a consultant for the defense.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Vic Fangio went down to Miami. That didn't work out. He hated it. And then they brought him back this year. And, you know, the 66-year-old guy, he's sitting up there. You can see what he was doing. And he, you know, I always think that defensive coordinators, they want to blitz. Like, they want to blitz. They just, they want to heat it up.
Yeah, they do.
And not once last night did he do that. And it's like one of the first times that I've ever seen a game where a defensive coordinator did not have to do that.
Well, when he was down in Miami, the players, we don't like him. He coaches too hard. Yeah, they didn't say that, but they were not, they wanted him out. So, I mean, one of the greatest defensive coordinators in the history of the NFL, but Miami, yeah, he's not our cup of tea. Let's get rid of him. Yeah, how'd that work out?
Yeah, I think that's because they have Mike McDaniel as their head coach, and Mike McDaniel's one of those coddle guys, and then you bring in Vic Fangio, who's the exact opposite, and it just wasn't working.
Gio's big on the coddle guys.
Yeah, coddle guy.
Well, I like that, because the game is so hard. Practice is hard. Meetings are hard. And, you know, our Bill Parcells and all, hey, what makes the game so great? It's so damn hard. And you need a guy to guide you through that. And I don't care what you do, the high-flying offenses and all this other stuff. It comes down, you got to, it's about strength, speed, but you got to be tough as hell. And the Eagles, last year, they fell apart. And you thought, wow, this is amazing with all that talent. But this year they held together, and that
I'll tell you why. You know, the other thing too, they were missing Nakobe Dean on this defense, and that guy, the game that we did against the Giants over at MetLife Stadium, that guy was all over the field. I think he had like 15 tackles that game.
Yeah,
and that guy's missing from that defense because of a knee injury.
Well, I was trying to write the notes as we do the game, Gio, and I go, "Who was it? What number? Who was that?" And it was amazing. Who?
Who are these guys?
I mean, they have so many defensive front players that are really big time, and we'll see if they can, how long they can hold this team together.
It's going to be interesting to see what kind of money that they give Zach Bond, of course, who's an all-pro player that they got off a free agency off of the New Orleans Saints, who was nothing but a special teams player. Then he became an all-pro linebacker. And you got to believe that Nick Sirianni is going to get a contract extension here. They're not going to let him go into 2025 as a lame duck head coach, are they?
No. No, they won't.
They have to give him like a 4-year contract extension. I'm thinking for like, what, $50 million?
That sounds about right.
Right?
Maybe more.
But we know who's running that organization, though.
Well, of course.
It's
yes.
Howie Roseman.
And
Howie Roseman would be like, listen, I won a Super Bowl without you. I was just about to fire your ass. I hired two coordinators, had the greatest offseason any executive maybe has ever had.
Yeah.
You know, I can find another coach. So you can take your $50 million over this time. You take what I give you. Howie Roseman is one of the few people could say that to a head coach.
Yeah, you know, it's not only the free agents they brought in, it's the
draft.
That's what's just incredible. And
Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean.
I mean, there's another one. Who else am I missing? There's one. I said, who is that? And I'll look at it up while you're in commercial. But they killed the draft. And so, like I said, young, shouldn't have money problems. See how motivated they are after winning the Super Bowl?
And that's not going to bode well for Aaron Rodgers and the Giants next year, is it?
Is that true?
He flew in here? That's true.
Well, Jets said, hey, we just want to tell you we're not going to bring him back.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that over the phone?
Yeah, I actually do appreciate Jay Glazer because he usually is on it.
Oh, yeah.
He is on it. I'll say that. So if he's reporting it, it is usually accurate. And I can see that meeting happening. And you and I both can understand why Aaron Glenn would not want him. And I can also understand why Aaron Rodgers would not want the Jets right now.
Well, yes. I would worry, Aaron Rodgers has to go. It's not that great, so it's going to be a rough year. But Aaron Glenn wants to set the team. And I don't know if his personality and how he wants to run the team, Aaron Rodgers is not going to have all the say in the offense like he's had for the last 2 years. So it was...
Especially with this young offensive coordinator, Ettinger, coming in.
Yeah, but it was bad for both sides.
Yeah,
why would you want it?
Right, you're not going to have a guy that's 40 years old, been in the league for 20 years, being coached by a guy who has never been an offensive coordinator before.
Tanner Engstrom?
Yes,
is that what it is?
Engstrom.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But where's he going to go? I mean, you got to remember, he had Nate Hackett there in Green Bay, and then he ended up coming here, and he brought, Nate Hackett with him. Where is he going to go? Because Nate Hackett's name is mud right now in the NFL. Everybody thinks he's the worst coach in the world. Where is he going to go where a team's going to cater to him and then build around him after what they saw in a Jets uniform? Nobody.
I've sit there and look at every team in the NFL and go, there's not a spot. Why would you do it? And it's nothing against, I'm not saying this against Aaron Rodgers, but age. You know, the way he plays, it's got to be his way, the system that fits him, the Green Bay system, what the West Coast, whatever you want to call it. That's all he's basically had his whole career. So, it's just...
How about Carroll, that? Maybe? Pete Carroll and the Raiders, maybe?
I would think not. I think the Raiders, look, they got to, sooner or later, they got to get a young quarterback, the franchise guy, whatever you want to call it. They got to get one somehow. Or get a free agent that's still young so they can have a chance to build their football team and get it going.
So how do you think Shedeur Sanders is going to do here? That's a giant quarterback.
Yeah, we'll see. Both of those guys, it wouldn't surprise me if the Giants get Cam Ward either. So it's still early.
Well, Phil's hanging out till 9, right?
Yeah, I know he is. Yeah. So we got a lot of time because I told him I wanted him to watch him film in his underwear before he came in. These did you do it?
I tried too late last night, but the damn videos don't come up quick enough.
But you were in your underwear, it sounds like. No, you didn't deny that.
A robe.
Okay.
A robe. Yeah, where's a robe?
So with the Knicks now heading into the All-Star break, and you think about the way that they played, but technically the first half of the season, without Mitchell Robinson and with OG on the shelf, I mean, I think they've held their own. They're 8-2 in their last 10. The two teams in front of them, Boston and Cleveland, are better than them. And I know you're not all that worried about the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the fact they got DeAndre Hunter, but previously to that, I'm not. I think that the Knicks can beat them in a 7-game series. I don't want to say easily, but I think that they might even be the favorites in a 7-game series. It's Boston that's the problem. You know, I was thinking about the expectations and falling short of them and what they might be and what the fan base is going to be satisfied with. And, you know, I really think that the, like, acceptable minimum for the Knicks is a competitive Eastern Conference Finals series against the Celtics.
It'd be like the Mets getting to the NLCS.
And right. And also, you know, they won two games and they were just, they were beat. Now, the Mets last year, though, were not geared up in the way that they are this year and geared up the way that the Knicks are. So, like, you felt like them getting to the NLCS, it was almost like gravy at that point. With the Knicks, like, if they go into that series and make it to the Eastern Conference, and if they lose before that, then forget about it. But if they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and get their ass kicked by the Celtics, you're going to feel like they're no closer to winning a championship than they were the previous year.
If they get Mitchell Robinson back and he's healthy and OG Anunoby is what he can be and what he should be, then I think they can play with anybody. As long as they don't go helter-skelter. You know, what happens when they, it's amazing, when they play teams that are better than them and you can see it, they get a little helter-skelter and their shots, they don't hit their shots.
Yeah, I mean, it's been basically two teams to me, and that has been, that really concerned me, are the Celtics and OKC. In those games, they don't look like one of the better teams in the NBA.
But I also saw it against the Lakers. You know, I saw that same, like, helter-skelter, kind of like forcing up shots, missing shots, nervousness that... You know, LeBron's in the house, and you know, and they were playing against the banged up Lakers team.
Yeah, that was definitely a bad loss. But they also, you know, that win against Memphis was very good. The win against Denver was very good. So they've had
the Denver
some...
win, I would say, yes, probably one of their better wins. But I don't know what it is. Like, I know it's these games are just arduous. They go on and on and on and on these seasons, and they have to be healthy when they hit the playoffs. But if they get Mitchell Robinson back, I think, you know, and OG's 100% and everybody is healthy going into the playoffs, then I think they have a legit shot.
Yeah, I think the difference between last year's team and this year's team is last year's team, you didn't know if they were going to be talented enough to get there. But you knew what you were going to get from them every single night. This year, you know they're talented enough to get there, but you don't know what you're going to get from them every single night. Does that make sense?
Especially against the better teams.
Yeah.
The one thing about them is that, you know, they'll beat most of the time, 90% of the time, they're going to beat the teams they're supposed to beat. And last night was indicative of that. I mean, you know, Atlanta's got a losing record. They're missing a couple guys. You know, some freak things happened towards the end of regulation. Then they got to win it in overtime. And in overtime, it looked like they were going to lose.
Yes, it did.
When overtime first started. So it was a good job by them staying with it. It's a back-to-back, as Tibbs said. And now they get a break now. And for Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson to be starters in the All-Star game, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and for the Knicks, the Mets, and the Yankees, the expectations are so high. I mean, you know, for the Mets, it's to get back and play the Dodgers in the NLCS and hopefully beat them. For the Yankees, it's to get back to the World Series and either face the Dodgers again and beat them, or face the Mets potentially, or another team in the National League and win the World Series. And for the Knicks, I really think it's, you know, getting to the finals is just a, it's a big ask with the Celtics being there. But it's, you know, taking the Celtics to seven games. If you're going to lose that series, you know, make it interesting. Lose it in five to the Celtics doesn't make me feel good about where the Knicks are. Because in the NBA, you could be better than 98% of the league and still really far away from winning a championship, as we saw with the 90s Knicks.
Let me ask you a question. Like, and this goes to all the teams around here. If you had to swallow a disappointing season and you had to trade players away, it's mostly basketball, hockey, and of course these baseball teams, the trading deadline, knowing that you could get a superstar by clearing the decks. I guess it all depends on who that superstar is and how old that superstar is, but would you do that? Like, say, like, if I told you that last year the Mets had $310 million in salary.
Yeah.
Okay? And you know, they had to drop three or four guys in order to sign Juan Soto, and they had to lose and trade away guys. Would you have said yes to that?
No, I probably would not. No, not the way that you're describing that, no. I mean, lose and trade away guys and just to bring that guy in. So, you know, for example, with the Mets, you don't feel like they really lost. We talked about Iglesias not coming back, but that wasn't because of Juan Soto. That wasn't a money thing, you know?
I just had an epiphany last night. Because I was watching, you know, the Four Nations between Canada and Sweden. And okay. I know how you love when we talk about
this.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay.
But it does involve the New York Rangers.
All right.
And I had an epiphany that I do think if there is a chance that the Rangers, you know, they could sneak into the playoffs and get a hot goalie, anything can happen.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Or as the trade deadline comes and you have some assets that you could trade and take some money off your salary cap to sign a superstar next year, would the Rangers do that?
Well, that's a team that probably needs a little bit of a shakeup. You know, it's a little bit different. When you talk about the Mets and where they were, you know, this team with the Rangers feels like they need to go in a different direction. So in that right. In that case, then probably.
If it happens, I could see that setting up right now.
Right now.
I can see it setting up right now. And Alan, I want you to remember this name because you're a big sports guy and you're a big sports name guy. All right, say it after me, all right?
You got it.
Mikko Ratnan.
Mikko Ratnan.
There you go. Remember that name.
And he plays?
Right now for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Got it. Hockey.
He was traded from the Colorado Avalanche and he's now playing currently for. Now, if he doesn't sign a contract extension with the Carolina Hurricanes in the next 3 to 4 weeks, maybe they trade him. Boom, red, white, and blue next year.
Interesting. Keep an eye on it. You heard it here first.
But you'd have to move. You'd probably have to move some more money off of your salary cap, even though the cap's going up next year. But I think somebody's got their eye on him.
All right, 8:10, February 13th, 8:10 a.m. Boomer's got Rantanen going to the Rangers.
Rantanen.
Let's go to Bobby in Belmore. What's going on, Bobby?
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Gio, they only play the Celtics in the quarterfinals, not the conference, because they're 2-3 seed.
Well, yeah, all right, fine. You get to the... So,
yeah, well...
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
And number two, there's got to be something, because Iglesias at 380... with runners in scoring position, 480 with runners in scoring position and two out. How can you not resign this guy? It's like a one-year deal. Forget the development of the other players. This guy's a proven player and a proven winner last year and was probably and had a .337 batting average, which was tops in the league with his at-bats.
Yeah, Bobby,
I there's something that no one's telling us. I don't understand.
Well, you got to remember, I mean, the season that he had last year was essentially an anomaly in his career.
Right, but... Well, why can't you just give him 1 year? I mean, you don't want to give him a long-term contract. No one's offering him any. I can't believe the Yankees aren't going after him either.
Well, they may now. I mean, who knows? And, they're right up against the luxury tax that Hal doesn't want to go past. I don't think it's that's the issue with the Mets. I actually believe David Stearns when he says what he says about keeping it open for the younger players. For me, I would have moved on from Jeff McNeil and kept Iglesias, but David Stearns is probably thinking we're not getting that same thing out of Iglesias again. And then again, his defense isn't going to disappear, that's for sure, and he was so good defensively last year.
Yeah, well, I think it's just one of those decisions that they made where they can't give everything to the fans that the fans want.
Unfortunately, another man close to the program we have to say goodbye to today, and that is the great Jose Iglesias, who David Stearns basically said yesterday there's no chance of him coming back because he wants to make sure that the young guys get their opportunities. So what I did is I was saving this for tomorrow on Valentine's Day. I was going to give it to you, but I'll do it a day early. Here is a signed OMG Jose Iglesias sign. So I wanted to gift that to you as we have our memories of Jose Iglesias and we say goodbye to a man who performed for us at Boomer and Geo Live, gave us so many great days of joy and happiness, is now gone. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Oh, my God. Yes, I appreciate this, G, and thank you to Jose because he gave us great memories. And this was one of the great things that came out of last year, you know. And normally you have some weird things that happen with the Mets.
Yeah.
But this was
not. Win the 82 games. Game Mets.
Yeah. This wasn't one of those weird things. This was just a great thing. And you pointed it out. You said out of all the athletes that have tried to go into this arena, you know, singing, rapping, whatever it may be, he sounded the best. And then when he did come to Boomer and Geo Live out at the Paramount, I mean, he was such a gracious guy and such a nice guy. I feel bad that he's not coming back. I kind of totally understand it as I go waffling by the camera right there, dancing with Sydney. you know, it was interesting that this had to happen this way. He did bring a lot of excitement. He was at the right place at the right time last year. He came through in so many different ways. And he was a big part of the turnaround. You know, that was the thing.
I mean, he was one of the biggest reasons for the turnaround.
Yes, exactly. And it's a shame that they can't bring them all back. And I feel bad about that. But I do, and I will cherish this. I will put this up in my office. And I'll think of great days of the Mets, and hopefully this year we have many more.
Yes,
and I think we will. I think there's really serious expectations. But I wanted Jose back, but I understand you can't bring everybody back. And I think David Stearns is trying to run this team without really having too much fan engagement.
Well, that's exactly right. And that was a point I was going to make next. Is even though he grew up a Mets fan. And I even saw an interview with him where he said that when he was a kid, he would listen to WFAN and all the guys that were on then and Ed Coleman. And he loved Bob Murphy growing up and all this stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we all did. But yeah. It just shows you how much of a fan he was growing up around here. And he just is not attached. He is not attached, which is a good thing for a general manager. And there's two big examples. One, he held his ground on Pete Alonso. And now two, Jose Iglesias isn't going to be here. And I'm sad about it. I think that he's great for the clubhouse. But realistically, to expect him to come back and have another season like that, it probably wasn't going to happen.
Let me ask you a question. We're assuming that whoever they are replacing him with, you know, is going to go out there and have a great year and maybe be able to do some of the things he did last year. You never know. Somebody gets hurt. Somebody doesn't, you know, somebody's not happy. You never know what happens. You just never totally close the door. Maybe the door is closed right now. But that doesn't mean it can't be kicked open in May, June, or July.
Well, I mean, if he's sitting out there,
yeah,
I mean, it doesn't mean.
You never know. That's what I'm saying. You never know.
Yeah,
you just never know, especially with 162 games and the way these players come in and out of these locker rooms and everything else. I mean, you know, come on. You never know.
Well, another team would have to. I mean, if another team picked him up, it would make that less of a possibility. You have to trade for him or whatever. But if he's just sitting out there and no one wants to take a chance on him because he had this miracle year and prior to that he'd been bouncing around in the minors and everything. And he's out there, then sure. But what David Stearns is really doing is he is opening the door up for Luis Angel Acuña to be a star at second base.
Well, go make it happen.
That's what this is.
You got to go make it happen. And, you know, the other part of all this is that, look, they went out and got Soto, so everybody's happy about that. They brought back Pete Alonso, so everybody's happy about that. So they did
placate the fans to some extent, to the tune of, you know, $750 million.
Yeah.
So I will say that, you know, it's not that he is, you know, he's not in Milwaukee anymore. You know, he's here in New York and they're spending the money, and Steve and Alex Cohen are spending the money. So as a fan, really, as a diehard fan, I can't complain about anything that they have done this offseason. They are trying to win. You know, they have the behemoth, the Dodgers, in the National League. They got to deal with the Braves. They got to deal with the Phillies. I mean, it's not going to be easy for them. You know that. I know that. We always know that, you know, when you're a Met fan, you are cautiously optimistic, especially when you have expectations like they do this year.
Yeah, I mean, and the door is closed on what was a special year last year. All of that is now on in our memories, because this year now has nothing to do with that special year last year. And I think this was sort of symbolic of that as well. And we'll remember that, a team that overachieved, a team we didn't expect to do the things that they did to get as far as they did, these unbelievable moments. You know, the Braves at the end of the regular season, obviously the Milwaukee series, beating the Philadelphia Phillies in the way that they did, having that great Game 5 at Citi Field before they ended up losing the NLCS to the Dodgers. But now it's expectation, it's Juan Soto, it's haters out there, it's no more Grimace, it's no more Hawk Tua, it's no more OMG, it's no more Gay Mets, it's none of that. This is now a serious baseball team that is chasing a championship, and unfortunately, you know, the OMG part of it is done. And Al was asking this question at the beginning of the warm-up show. It's true. Let's say another team picks them up. They can't do OMG, right?
Well, he has to come up with a new song.
They can't do OMG. No. That's our thing.
Candelita has got to come up with another song.
Don't take our thing, God damn it!
You know, the question is, will they play OMG at all this year at Citi Field?
They can't.
Right?
They can't do it.
Right? They have to move on. They have to come up with something else now.
Yeah.
You will not even look at the Four Nations hockey tournament tonight.
No.
Really at all?
No. Wow. Not in one iota, no.
Look, for all those hockey fans out there, I'll tell you, the game last night was amazing. It was an amazing game. And tonight will be an amazing game, most likely, too. Although I don't think Finland is as good as the other three teams in this thing. But,
I mean,
you never know,
you
still
exactly
got to play.
Who started this?
So, basically, they don't have an all-star weekend. This is essentially their all-star weekend. And a lot of people were panning it, saying, the players aren't going to play. They aren't going to play hard. And, you know, nothing can be further from the truth. Once you put on a jersey that has your country's colors and flag on it and everything else, you're going to play your ass off for it, because you know your home country wants you to win. And that was kind of what they got last night. And they were talking about it last night, because in Sweden, I think it was 2:30 in the morning it was being shown, because of the time difference, of course. So you know, and then you got, you know, America and Finland tonight, and then you'll have America and Canada on Saturday, I believe.
Where are these games being played?
Boston and Montreal.
Okay.
Yeah, last night was in Montreal, and it was great. It was great to see. You know, Wayne Gretzky was working the broadcast, so he was down in Atlanta, I guess, where they do the TNT broadcast.
Yeah.
But Mario Lemieux came out last night, and the Montreal crowd went crazy.
Well, of course. Le Magnifique.
Yeah, it was amazing just to watch him, because, you know, you don't really see him or hear from him much.
Well, especially now that he's not involved with the Penguins anymore, and it's unfortunate there was a falling out there. But when I was there, he was part owner with Ron Burkle. And he was one of those guys that if you passed him in a hallway, it was as if he wasn't even walking on the ground. It was like he was levitating past you. He's one of those aura guys that is undeniable, absolutely undeniable.
He had back issues. He had cancer issues, right?
Yeah.
And came through most of
Hodgkin's,
if not all of it.
Which one's the good Hodgkin's? Remember that?
The non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
That was the Larry David thing.
Yes.
Where he's like, and the doctors be like, well, I wouldn't call it a good Hodgkin's. I mean, it's a better Hodgkin's, but it's not a good Hodgkin's.
It's a curable Hodgkin's.
Right. Yes. So it's not, wasn't my take. I was just quoting a show, which I rarely do.
Right.
I know CeeLo does the movie quotes all the time. When you said Hodgkin's, I thought good Hodgkin's, bad Hodgkin's.
But watching him come out last night and the reaction to him, it's like, you know, obviously, you're not a hockey guy. You guys are not hockey guys. I am. I don't really ever see him much. Not doing much anymore. But then when he showed up last night, the place exploded.
Yeah. I was exposed to him a ton when I was there. By the way,
did you ever interview him?
No, unfortunately not. He honestly, I think he did one radio interview in the 5 years I was there.
That's what I'm saying. Like he just never did.
And he was the owner of the team. He was a part owner of the team.
You would think he would publicize the team or promote the team, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, they really didn't need much promotion at that point. I mean, they were just on top of the world, and they had everybody in their prime. You know, and it's actually on Saturday will be the 15th anniversary of that station launch that I was a part of, that first broadcast.
You going back?
No, the year 15 party, no, I'm not going back. But
it's like a reunion.
It is a reunion, but I'm not going back there.
Are they having a party?
I think they are, yeah.
And you, the morning show guy, is not going back?
Well, I was there for 5 years. I've been on the air for 15 years now.
So yeah, but you got it off the ground. Like, you know how we often talk about how Susan got it off the ground here for us?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go.
Greg Gumbel, Susan. Yeah, and
I'm not going to go to Pittsburgh in February. I'm just okay. I'm not doing that. But you'd be proud, speaking of hockey, my first guest ever.
Your first guest ever?
Yeah. And I thought I was
Chris,
like,
Letang.
No. I was flexing my muscles because I said, hey, this is a hockey town. I'm coming from New York. I got a contact here. I'm going to put this guy on my first night show.
Mark Messier.
No, why would they want to hear from him? No.
Well, because he's one of the great guys of all time. What
but
are you talking about?
They don't like him in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So, well, I didn't like really this guy either, but I figured I'd be like, hey, I come right out of the gate and be like, look at this. Look who I got. And then his phone crapped out like 2 minutes into the interview, and I never got him back.
What team was he known for?
Not known for a team, actually. It was Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Oh, okay.
That was my first, because I had worked on the Gary Bettman show.
On the NHL Network?
I did, and I had the contact still.
You know, I was a guest on that NHL Network show with Gary Bettman, and I was at one of Sydney's soccer games, I think down at Seaford.
Mm.
And I'm doing the interview as the game's going on. And Sydney got hurt right in the middle of the game.
I remember you telling me that story,
yeah. And I had to go down on the field and pick her up and get her off the field. And then I had to rush her to urgent care to get an x-ray that was negative. And I told her, you know, suck it up. You don't have a
problem. Right, I'm doing an interview here, for God's sakes. So we're going to make this about you?
Then I had to call back on the way to urgent care with Sydney in the back seat, like moaning, oh, my ankle. I'm like, stop it.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
That's probably the greatest moment in that Gary Pittman show's history.
Probably. You know,
the entertainment of that whole thing.
Yeah, I was. Oof.
Yeah, that was. I used to do it from the NHL store. We used to go up.
Exactly. So, yeah. But, you know, the fact that he was a commissioner doing that, I thought was a great thing.
Yeah. I mean,
because
it was.
Commissioners don't do things like that.
Very pre-produced, though. And there was many people around that were really worried about the questions that were coming through. I was just like, bleh. And I didn't want to do it anymore. And I got Monzo to do it.
Yeah, because the commissioners don't want to expose themselves to fans who have problems with some of the decisions that they make, whether it be PSLs or season tickets or, you know, political money and everything else that's going on in the world of sports.
I was also producing the show NHL Live. Remember that show? It was with E.J. Raddick and Don LaGreca.
Of course, yes.
So Eddie Olczyk used to come on, and his answers were so long. And Don used to do this thing where he would ask a question, he would go down the stairs of the NHL store, walk out the side door, walk around to the front, back into the store, and up the stairs, and sit back down before Eddie Olczyk finished his question. It was tremendous. And then we used to bet on it. It was great. I bet you $10 you could do it. And you'd run down and be like, what the hell is going on? Come right back up. He'd sit back down in the chair. We had a good time.
So could you imagine if you had CeeLo asking Eddie Olczyk questions?
Oh, my God. We'd all die before the end of that conversation. Whimsy included.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey sports fans, it's Mason Crosby
and Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.